Welcome to RAPcast, the podcast by Rheumatology Advanced Practice Providers, where we bring you the latest insights, research, and discussions in the field of rheumatology. I am your host and president of RAP, Amanda Mixon, and today we are diving into a special segment inspired by a new segment in RAP's quarterly newsletter, which is called Spotlight Clinical Cornerstones. Spotlight Clinical Cornerstones is an exciting initiative by RAP aimed at highlighting the incredible members of our organization. We believe in giving our members a platform to showcase their expertise and discuss topics that matter most to them. In today's episode, we'll be piggybacking off the latest edition where we feature one of our exceptional members. This segment is all about elevating their voices and shedding light on the clinical cornerstones that shape their practice. Our guest today is Derek Mueller, a physician assistant, and I think definitely a rising star in the RAP community. I have no doubt Derek will bring a unique perspective to our discussion.
Thank you, Amanda. It's a pleasure to be here on RAPcast and an honor to be a focus of the inaugural spotlight.
Derek has chosen an important topic, one that I believe deserves attention and exploration. Together, we're going to delve into his insights and gain valuable tips and tricks when focusing on multidisciplinary care. So get ready to be inspired, informed, and engaged as we venture into the world of rheumatology with our featured member, Derek, on this episode of RAPcast. It's time to shine the spotlight on the clinical cornerstones that shape our practice. So now let's just delve right into it, Derek. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and the journey of becoming a physician assistant?
Sure. So I'm from mid-Michigan. Been interested in science since I was a kid. I think that's ultimately what led me into healthcare. My grandmother was a nurse. I was into really nerdy stuff as a growing up. I did a CPR class at a community college when I was 11 or 12 and just thought healthcare was very interesting. And that's part of what led me into a career as a PA when I heard about the profession from a counselor in high school. After high school, went on to Alma College, where I got a degree in human physiology. In between that and grad school, I worked as an ophthalmic technician for a few years, and then went to the University of Detroit Mercy, where I graduated in 2019 from their PA program.
That's awesome. And then you went right into rheumatology, right?
That's right. Going into PA school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I had an interest in ophthalmology, actually, but at the time, as a PA student looking for jobs, there really was not much out there. And then when it was time to choose an elective, I was drawn to choose an elective in rheumatology because it seemed really the thing that we skimped on the most in school, to be honest. It was just such a brief period of time that we spent on rheumatology topics, so I figured I ought to do a rotation in it, or else I was going to be in trouble for the board exam. So that's what led me to cold call a rheumatologist from where I grew up in Lansing. Fell in love with it very quickly. Such a fascinating field of medicine, and essentially that's what led me then to pursue a career in it right out of PA school.
It's so funny. So what our listeners probably don't know is Derek and I actually did a rotation at the same rheumatology office in Lansing, Michigan. And I also similarly had something. I went to school on the East Coast and was like just kind of looking for a rotation to do at near home. It was around, I believe, the holidays. And I was like, oh, rheumatology, that's kind of neat. The rheumatologist actually she saw my grandma as a patient, and so I was like, and then also saw my mom, and so I was like, I could probably call her and see if I can do a rotation, and then immediately fell in love with it. And so I think that just kind of goes to show how, you know, a really special rotation can then lead you to what you want to do in your career, because we definitely do not get much rheumatology at all in school. But then once you get into it, it's just this fascinating field. And I just think that's kind of interesting. It kind of all comes full circle. So kind of is that really what drew you to this specialty, is really kind of the complexity of it? Or and I guess the second prong to that would be is what aspect do you find the most rewarding in your work?
That's really what drew me in was first the cerebral nature of rheumatology. I think we hear the same thing all the time from our colleagues. So I think we're all drawn to it partially because of that mystery solving aspect to it, how rheumatology is a puzzle and it's very, it's something that few know a whole lot about, and it's something that you don't really understand unless you're surrounded by you're immersed in the field. And I think that the variety of rheumatology is something that drew me to it as well. We take care of patients of all different age groups. We see so many different types of disease states that span not only the joints, but the eyes, the heart, the lungs. So I think it's a great field if you really want to be involved in all aspects of medicine. And I also enjoy the continuity of care over time, that when you see a patient, odds are you're going to be seeing them over the years and form a strong bond with your patients over time.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's interesting. So obviously you are, you know, kind of at more the beginning of your career, and I've been kind of doing this, you know, quite a long time now. And it's funny because I say to my patients, you know, we're growing old together, which is, you know, something I never thought that I would, you know, really think about, particularly when I first started, that it's absolutely true. You see these patients for their lifespan. And, you know, with the medicines that we have now, diseases that used to be, unfortunately, almost like death sentences, really, I mean, are not anymore. And these patients can live long, healthy lives with appropriate treatment. So I totally agree. We're both on the same page with that. So I'd like to know a little bit more about your practice specifically, because, you know, as APPs, we definitely all have these varying roles in rheumatology. And I think it's great for our listeners to really understand and see how different people are doing and what they're doing. So first, I guess I would like to say, tell me about your practice. Like, what is your day to day?
Sure. So our office is a private practice, privately owned, not hospital affiliated. We're relatively smaller. We have a total of 4 clinicians at our office, 2 physicians, myself, and a nurse practitioner. We have an infusion clinic in our office as well. As far as patient load, I see anywhere from about 15 to 18 patients a day, Monday through Thursday. We're closed on Friday, so that's always nice. Get some personal time there.
Yeah.
And I see patients of all types. It's an adult rheumatology clinic. I see new patients as well as follow-up patients. And we see all sorts of disease states. And as far as things that I kind of gravitate towards, I consider myself someone who's very interested in the treatment of gout and crystalline arthritis. That's kind of something I really enjoy. But of course, I think anyone in rheumatology, we enjoy it all.
Absolutely. And so really, you are kind of seeing the full gamut of patient types. So really, from your systemic lupus to your gout to your rheumatoid arthritis, you're seeing it all, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so how exactly were you integrated into your practice? Was there a mentorship? I mean, you know, how did you do it? And because I asked that question because I think a lot of APPs, particularly new APPs, or perhaps even students that are interested in rheumatology, to know, okay, you get your job, right? Like, we come out of PA school 2 to 3 years based on your program, and, you know, you want to do rheumatology. Okay, now what? Because you had very little experience, and you know, you and I were fortunate because we did rheumatology rotations, but that is just not that common. So when you got in, you know, how did you become the successful, you know, rising star in rheumatology? Like, what happened that was the right thing to do?
So looking back on it, I think a lot of my success had to do with the fact that I work with a physician that is very motivated to train me and to allow me to perform at the top of my abilities. and allowed me to grow over time. And as far as how I was set up from success from the beginning, the physician that I worked with got me a few textbooks, got me access to a few learning resources from the beginning. So that was very helpful. We considered the one of the formal ACR physician assistant training programs. So that is something that we looked at as well to do.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So it was really kind of this multi approach where he was mentoring you, he wanted to mentor you, he wanted to teach you, and then also gave you the resources so that you could succeed. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely, yeah. And thankfully I was introduced to some great mentors early on, such as yourself. So I think really getting introduced to other people, more experienced APPs in the beginning, was a big help too. I think someone gave you goals and, you know, people to look up to.
Oh, I think that's so great. And again, I also had mentors very similarly, and I think that has really allowed me to succeed also. Do you feel like, as you look at, like, let's say there's a new APP coming into the field, like, is there anything that you would recommend to them, or, you know, kind of give them some advice on what to do to be successful?
Mm-hmm. I think being involved in organizations such as RAP, other being involved in having access to educational material, seeking that out, whether that's rheumatology podcasts, blogs, websites. There's so many different things out there. Room Now was a great resource for me going into it. Lots of great rheumatology content out there on Twitter. So really, you just got to look for it, but it's all over the place. And I think having multiple ways of learning, whether that's through, you know, short bits of information like Twitter, a lot of times it's a bit more palatable than reading a chapter in a textbook, but certainly between multiple learning modalities, I think is a very, very, very approachable way for people who are new to learn rheumatology.
Yeah, I agree. I think it really is all about, you know, trying to find what works for you, because we all learn so differently. And what is so lovely is there are so many different ways to get the knowledge. I mean, if you're somebody that likes to read, there's a lot of really good textbooks. If you like podcasts, there are a lot of really good podcasts. I agree. Room Now is amazing. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things with ACR that are really good too. So I think it's really important, you know, that you find what works for you and then just kind of continue to do that so that you can be successful and continuing to learn. Because, you know, expecting that your physician can teach you everything that you need to know, I don't think that really works. I think that you have to be very motivated, particularly to be in this field, because it's complex. And like what you said at the very beginning, you know, we're putting pieces of a puzzle together. And so you really have to have a good understanding of really the entire body, internal medicine. I mean, all the organ systems to really understand how these diseases can affect those things. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So it sounds like you obviously, you know, were in a really, really good practice. I also was starting, which I think is so important. So it's really having a good mentor. It's having the resources available to you. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk more about multidisciplinary care. Clearly that's an important aspect of healthcare. Can you explain to me a little bit why you believe it's particularly crucial in the field of rheumatology?
Yeah, so like we alluded to before, there's a lot of different organ systems involved when it comes to rheumatologic diseases. So we are very frequently relying on our colleagues in pulmonary medicine, ophthalmology, cardiology, GI, dermatology. All these different disciplines are integrally involved in the care of a rheumatology patient. And that requires good crosstalk between clinicians. And you know, a lot of times, the ball is getting dropped, whether that's because our electronic medical record systems are imperfect at sharing data, people are busy and may not have time to talk and share information about management. It's a big deal and things fall through the cracks. And I think that in order to have set patients up for success, that we really ought to have better lines of communication between specialties who may be working on different aspects of a patient's care.
I could not agree more. I think, you know, if I had any advice for listeners, you know, particularly newer APPs, it's connect with other specialties APPs. Because I think sometimes, you know, it can be a little intimidating, you know, when you're newer to the field to call and talk to perhaps the physician, but we all feel comfortable talking with each other. And I think that that is why RAP has been so successful, is because it's APPs kind of teaching, you know, more experienced APPs teaching younger APPs, because we kind of know what we need. And so I could not agree more. So in your piece, you discussed tricks and resources for fellow APPs. And this was really based on your experience working with ophthalmology colleagues. Could you share some of the key insights or tips that you found particularly valuable in your interactions with ophthalmology professionals?
Absolutely. I think what I found through communicating more with my ophthalmology peers was really understanding and coming to a mutual agreement on what our goals are. I think a lot of times when we're shooting back notes via fax from one another, a lot of things get lost in translation. So I think when we're working together and talking about our common goals and concerns about maybe certain aspects of care where there might be a disagreement or difference of opinion, I think when you actually, whether it's physically sit down, in my case, in our rheumatology ophthalmology clinic, or even talk to somebody over the phone about things like making treatment decisions, changes in therapy, diagnostic workup, all those things, when you talk about your shared goals and thoughts and what you're going to do to take care of a patient, things just tend to make more sense when you're all on the same page and everything's out there in the open.
Yeah. So really, I think kind of what I'm hearing you say is just having that open dialogue and really sitting down face to face or, you know, on the phone. And probably then that would be a best way to kind of overcome some challenges and really foster this effective teamwork, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you learn things from the other specialties. You learn things about them, and you might learn that they, you know, something I learned is that sometimes ophthalmologists, beyond a few TNF inhibitors like infliximab and adalimumab, they really don't, you know, they don't know a whole lot about other biologic options. They're really interested in trying to use them as part of the armamentarium of treating conditions like uveitis. But, you know, they want our insight about these drugs. We know a lot of, certainly more about other mechanisms of action like IL-6 inhibitors and B-cell depleting agents. And, you know, ophthalmologists really don't use those a whole lot. So they really rely on us to have the expertise and prescribing those medications, what are the potential risk, benefit, side effects. So I think that's really helpful too, that they are hungry for information from us too, and we can share that with them.
Absolutely. And again, I think that really it's just all about making these relationships, and then from there, obviously then we're able to provide the best patient care. So I find all that very interesting, and you're making me want to call an ophthalmologist and make a connection, because I can't think of any off the top of my head that I know where I could just pick up the phone and call them. Actually, there is one, actually, now that I think about it, but you know, I think you're right. I think it's so important, because again, we have, because rheumatology encompasses so many different organ systems, unfortunately, our patients often have to deal with, you know, eye issues or heart issues, lungs. So it's just really important to foster that relationship so we can help our patients.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything, you know, that we haven't discussed yet that you feel like, you know, you'd like to talk about or educate our listeners on?
I really think, and I mentioned this in my piece, that if you're interested in pursuing some subspecialized field, or if you notice that there is a gap in care, whether that's management of patients with sarcoidosis or uveitis or some disease state that may involve multiple subspecialties, and you should really you should really pursue that. And if you want to be, if you want better care for your patients, reach out to your colleagues. You know, I think when you reach out to other specialties, they're happily surprised when you call them and somebody actually wants to talk to them about, you know, their retinal exam or their PFDs or how they're doing in response to some certain medication. If you're interested in, just reach out and make those connections. And if you're interested in starting a multidisciplinary clinic, you know, try to hook up with some, for example, dermatology APPs, dermatology a clinic. Just it's people want to work together. You just have to make those connections first.
That is such great advice. I totally agree. And gosh, how amazing. I mean, you're just doing such a wonderful job. And I love talking with you because you really are, I believe, kind of the future of APPs in our field. And it just really makes me excited to see that this is kind of what our newer, and you're not new at this point, but you have a long career ahead of you. And it's just exciting to, I'm excited that I'll get to watch it and kind of see what all you accomplish. And so on that note, thanks so much for joining us on this enlightening episode of Rapcast. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to Derek for sharing his expertise and passion with us today. Through his insights, we've gained a deeper understanding of multidisciplinary care and learned how his personal practice works. I hope this conversation has inspired you, as it definitely has for me, to continue to strive for excellence for our patients. Be sure to stay connected and be the first to hear about our upcoming episodes by following our podcast. Don't forget also to explore the RAP ecosystem further. Download the RAP ACE app for enhanced experience, or please visit our website, rap.org. Connect with us on Twitter at RoomAPP and Instagram at RoomAPP for the latest updates, insightful content, and exciting announcements. You know, and really together we can embark on a journey of knowledge and empowerment for advanced practice providers in rheumatology. And if you would like to hear more of what Derek has to say, he is joining us as faculty in our national conference. Derek, what are you speaking on?
I'll be talking about the history of axial spondyl arthritis, how the diagnosis came to be over time, and a review of the various diagnostic criteria and how diagnostic tests have kind of evolved for axial spondyl arthritis over the last 100 years or so. So it's been exciting to do the research on it, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with everybody there at the meeting.
Oh, I'm so excited to listen to that lecture. So with that, I'm your host, Amanda Mixon, and please join us next time on Rapcast.